It's Monday. It's Jedi Alliance. Did you survive Rogue Friday? We barely did. Today we're going to be talking about what you picked up on Rogue Friday, as well as other experimental changes we're going to be going through. It's a wild time here at Jedi Alliance, so stick with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
And welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance. I wanted to see if I could swipe it across like our graphic does. It's another Monday. It's Jedi Alliance 105. John Rocha.
Yes.
We're back again.
Yes, we are.
I'm so happy that we're together this
Monday. Okay, all right. That's a little far. Nothing's anything wrong with it. It's 2016. Nothing's anything wrong with it. I'm happy to be back. Let's talk some Star Wars. A lot of stuff happened over the weekend. A lot of stuff happened in the past week. Mm-hmm. We got a Rebels episode. We got so much to talk about. Filoni interviews. There's so much going on. I can't wait to get to all of it. And you've got these amazing new pops up in front for people to take a look at.
Every single one except for one of the store exclusives. Like, I went to GameStop and they still had them all stacked on top of each other. And I was like, I don't have the money for this. Why would you keep those out?
Right.
And they had one from Doom up there too. And I was like, oh, that's a weird looking Stormtrooper. That's not Star Wars. Why is it with Star Wars?
Right.
Very bizarre. But did you end up picking anything up for
I have not yet. No, I have not yet. No, because listen, I'm a busy guy. I got a lot going on. I don't have all this time to run around. Like, there's a lot going on. And so I didn't have a chance to pick up, but this looks fantastic. And I think you don't understand the idea of capitalism, Mark, because it's supposed to have you look at stuff and go, I can't afford that. I'm going to use my last cent anyway and do it. That's the whole point of it. They put it in front of you. They dangle it in front of you.
Here's what I do. I make concessions.
Yes?
So I was looking at the giant Lego U-Wing. I was looking the giant Lego, TIE Striker is what this new model is called. I was looking at those and I went, $80. Man, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
I don't have that kind of money because Friday was also every bill was due. So
I
think I've got about $30 in my account. Either way, I bought Star Wars toys. So I made the concession. And for our video viewers, you can see I got this little miniature ghost with Hera at the helm that fires at you lasers. Hey, 3D viewers.
Oh, there it is.
There it is, and there it goes, and I'm never going to see it again.
That's right.
Good thing they packed more. But yeah, I like the Force Friday sort of thing.
Yeah.
It gives you an extra look at everything in the movie. Like, even though these are sort of like cartoonish versions of them, you can go, oh, okay, so she's got a vest, she's got a thing. One of our fans sent in a picture of a Jyn Erso that they got that looks like it has a lightsaber hilt in it.
Oh, wow.
But we'll look at that more later.
Yes.
That's what we call a tease. why don't we start
off? Show the one.
Oh, K2. I've got K2 SO right here.
Yeah.
He was just along for the ride. It came with a grappling hook. I don't know if it will.
What does that mean?
It's like a grappling hook from the movie, or if it's like, what does this robot that walks around and gives death messages need?
Yeah.
Grappling hook.
Grappling hook is perfect. It's going to people come closer. But with Force Awakens, we had the same thing where the things were released early and we had hints of what's going to be in the movie. So he may have a zipline in the movie or a grappling hook the movie.
I'm all about grappling hook.
Absolutely.
So why don't we, speaking of which, and seeing new looks of characters, why don't we go to news from the HoloNet? We got an ad from Walmart that was for toys. That was it was for the new Scarif Stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. It's a very short thing. We just pulled the video. We took the Walmart ads out of it.
Wow.
So forgive
Not
us.
Sponsored by Walmart.
No.
Right.
So make sure to check us out on YouTube because we are a bit of a visual show, especially today, showing off some of these toys.
Yes, I'm naked.
But,
I'm naked.
Yes, dude, glass tabletop. You can see everything.
Hello.
So, family show. Why don't...
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I love
What's in this Diet Coke? All right. Yes, go ahead.
That sounds like your problem. What did I leave in this Diet Coke? So why don't we take a look? It's going to be a super quick look. It's about 10 seconds, but let's see these Scarif Stormtroopers in action. That's it.
That's wow.
Super
that
quick.
Was super
quick.
You don't even get the kid screaming when the dog comes off.
Nope,
oh well, that's
not
a shame.
Even that.
All
just all for the Stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Not the ad part.
Yes.
My favorite thing about this is it indicates a level of skill of Stormtrooper that we haven't seen in this original trilogy era.
Yeah, they seem lighter, quicker to formation wise.
Formations.
Yeah, it's very military based, so I like that. Mm-hmm. They seem to know what they're shooting at, like they have a confidence that they can actually hit it. So there's a lot going on here that I really enjoyed. Plus the full body outfit, seeing it in motion to that level, that degree, was fun to watch.
Do you think we're still dealing with clones? Do you think, like, ooh, seeing the age that Rex and the others were at, yeah, in Rebels, still very competent, do you think that there are any clones still in the ranks of the Empire at this point?
I think there might be, but I don't think it's quite to the prevalent level as it was before. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that Rex is a grizzled warrior out of that situation lets you know, because or else he'd be, like, trying to find all his clone buddies or trying to hook up with all the clone people. Or that would have come up, I think, in Rebels by now, the multiple amounts of armies of clones that are roaming around. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like they would want to go that route. I think a lot. I think what I know about, what I feel, rather, about this new version of the Star Wars coming through Disney is that they want to kind of distance themselves from a lot of stuff that makes people think about the prequels. So I would be surprised if they went full clone in any way, shape, or form.
Hmm.
That's my opinion.
And it's a good one. I like it. I like it.
You can disagree. And then at some point down the road, we might have a duel about it. I don't know.
Good.
Is that a tease?
That's a tease.
Yeah, John, all right, fine.
You're brilliant. You're a beautiful human being.
No,
we'll talk about that later.
This is how you butter me up and then you slash me to pieces.
We'll talk about it back at home.
That sounds good.
Moving on from there, not moving on, sorry. Yeah. I love the Shore Troopers. I love the regimentality of it and how it shows a level of skill that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah,
it's going to be great. And a little bit of, I guess, kind of breaking news, because this came out earlier today, but it was also a part of a piece earlier this past week.
Yeah.
David Prowse had a wonderful interview. I highly recommend it. It's from the Daily Independent in UK. And he talks about how the growth of Darth Vader's character and how important he felt the presence was to it, which is all about. We read about it in books, even when we don't see the man.
Yeah.
We understand how important the presence of Darth Vader was. The news that broke today was that he just retired from doing international appearances.
Wow.
He is an older man.
Yes.
He's an older gentleman.
Yes. When I saw Elstree 76, he was struggling just to be interviewed, sitting in his own chair in his own house. And so I'm not surprised the international, he's retired from the international conventions, because it takes a lot. It takes a toll on your body as an older person. And I'm sure he's not flying first class where they're like wheeling him in and wheeling him out. You know, they make money doing these conventions, but they're not making millions or anything like that, you know? So, yeah.
Stan Lee just did the same. You know?
He's
doing very few conventions these days. Mm-hmm. So if you got to go to Stan Lee's LA Comic Con, formerly Kamikaze, to see him, essentially, because what better place to go than a place that has your name on it?
Yeah, newsflash, people get old, and it's tough to travel when you're old. It's irritating.
That is a Popcorn Talk exclusive. Thank you, John Rocha.
That's
brilliant. Why don't you tell us about this most recent Filoni story?
It's interesting to see where he's going to go with this, because he was talking about merging Rogue One and the events coming up here with the Rebels. And so I love that he is kicking around the idea. I love that he's talked up, you know, he's saying that there's been communication, that he's been in the know about Rebels, about where they're going. And this idea that Rebels was a more colorful show, but he has been guiding it into a little darker area so that it starts to mirror a little more of Rogue One, with the grittiness, with the war vibe, the darkness. So you can already see that this season. There are more grays, there are more blacks, there are more in terms of colors, there are more all these kinds of things roaming through, steel-type feels, you know. Yeah. You get that sense from two episodes of Rebels, which I know we'll talk about a little bit later, but like you get that sense. So I love that Filoni is fully on board with having had conversations with them and trying to guide Rebels into that vine. And Justin Ridge, who I think has taken over, will absolutely probably go down even further down that path, because some of the ones he's directed have been very war-based or military-based episodes, and so they have that vibe already to them.
And it calls back to Justin's time on Clone Wars as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it seemingly ad nauseum, but in the right way. Mm-hmm. Of course, Rebels and Rogue One are going to intersect.
Yeah.
They have to. It's the same world, only a few years apart. When do you think the intersections are going to start?
Well, the rumor is that Rebels is supposed to finish 15 minutes before New Hope starts. Mm-hmm. So we've got 2 years.
Rebels or Rogue One?
Let me start Rogue One.
Okay.
Yeah. So Rebels will probably finish. I feel like Rebels will finish like what's supposed to be 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Rebels supposed to be 5 years before New Hope. 5 years before New Hope is the rumor, right? So where are we going to end up? The Ghost? Why wouldn't we see the ghost? That's an easy way to do that and not have a not necessarily put the characters out there. You know what I'm saying? So you can play that game a little bit. So I think it'll intersect just as we see what we see the end of this season, what we see with Kanan, with Ezra, with what's happening between them. I think that's going to be what we see intersecting. And also, we see Thrawn. We might get references. We might see something going on there, especially people still believe that Mendelsohn is supposed to be Thrawn and what have you. So who knows how they're going to play that out. But it's certainly possible to see how that goes. I don't know how Bendu would show up in Rogue One, but that would be awesome if he did.
I mean, if the rumors are true that we're not going to be seeing any lightsabers in Rogue One, then I don't know why the Bendu would be there.
No, that's a good
point. If we see a version of that species on Jedha, that would be really cool.
Right?
That would be really cool.
I
liked also something that I kind of piggybanked on this that we showed to our audience was Mark Austin, who was the voice of Boba Fett, or who played Boba Fett for the special editions.
Oh, yeah.
And then is a animator for for Lucasfilm Animation. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Tweeted a photo, a drawn photo of Director Krennic from Rogue One, which people are saying as a tease that maybe Krennic will show up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm hoping so. I'm hoping, even if it's in passing, of Krennic and Thrawn having an interaction about strategy.
Yeah.
Something as easy as that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, nothing says that also that Erso and any of those band of rebels would have an intersection episode with rebels, right? It's certainly possible to have any of them come through in some way, some shape or form, because they, at this point, they're going all over the place, right? So that any adventure could happen on any planet where they could run into any of the rebels that are going to show up in Rogue.
And if Jedha is as important of a planet as we're being led to believe, why wouldn't Kanan want to take Ezra there?
Exactly.
So, I agree with you.
Because the world has come undone. Yes.
Come undone.
It's my favorite line, period.
And that performance, Forest Whitaker is killing it with it. Oh, God, I'm about to sneeze. Why don't you take this one before
Okay. Good one. All right, so we've got this. The news now about Rogue One trailer is going to be paired up with the Doctor Strange, right? We're going to see supposedly something like that. This is going to be interesting to me. I think it's a smart crossover move, obviously, because this Doctor Strange buzz is starting to build.
Yeah,
it really build, and people are enjoying it. The motion posters, all the billboards are starting to go up. All this stuff is happening. So to me, I think it's a great combination because once again, the Doctor Strange stuff is supposed to be a little more like mystical, a little more darker. I mean, just the trailer from the beginning, he's in a horrible car accident. So already you've got the vibe. This isn't some feel-good Iron Man film. This is going to be a little darker. So it seems to be a perfect companion to have a Rogue One trailer there in the same theater as you're about to watch Doctor Strange. And if it's the final one, we're good to go.
Yeah.
I'm already there. Millions and millions of us are already there.
Yeah.
It's just probably one last one. I just don't want them to give away anything.
I think that's going to be a problem, too, if it's going to debut with Doctor Strange. If I remember correctly, it comes out November 4th.
November 4th, yes.
So if it debuts with that, then nobody's going to have a chance to go, oh, you should avoid this trailer because this is in it.
Right.
So we're all going to be sitting in there, and instead of sitting down and enjoying Doctor Strange, we might get something that people have been put off because something got spoiled in the trailer, and they're just like, I can't believe we saw that Chirrut is actually a Jedi, and it's a lightsaber at the end of his walking stick. And
right.
Because the internet.
Yeah.
That's my only hope, is that it's not anything too much past anything we've seen.
Yeah.
I want to see maybe the top of Act 2, but stuff, or I mean, to be fair, there was stuff in the Force Awakens trailers that we thought was like, oh, that's got to be all this part.
You're right.
But it ended up being from all over the place, but they had put it in the trailer as such to where we had no idea.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're certainly deft at doing that. Hopefully they hit it again this time around.
Did you also see the rumor that Rogue One might be rated PG-13?
Yes.
So the Russian ratings board has a poster of Rogue One with a +12 rating, which is the equivalent of the US PG-13.
Yeah.
Now, there's no direct indicator that the MPAA are going to have confirmed that it's going to be a rated PG-13 movie, but that is a step in the right direction.
We have to, at least PG-13, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as much as I would want it to be R, it'd be a miracle if it was R. So PG-13 is fine for now. I'm okay with that if that's what they're going to go.
It's not going to go. I don't think Star Wars will ever give us a hard R. We're not going to get Star Wars Deadpool.
I would love to have that just once. I mean, he's a bounty hunter. People die. If you read the Star Wars comic book that came out, there were a lot of really hard stuff, battles that Boba Fett was having, you know, one-on-one killing people. And so, to me, there is a darkness already in the universe. You just have to find the right situation.
If it's IG-88, I'm in.
Yeah.
But not Deadpool. Gotcha. But not Boba Fett.
What about Cad Bane? Would you have done that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But it's a Western where just everybody goes down.
Yeah.
Like a modern 310 to Yuma. Like,
That'd be great. Yeah.
Oh, Rated R. About it.
Come on.
So that's going to wrap it up from news from the Holonet. And it's about to get juicy.
Oh,
because we're going to peel it back and hit our Rebels Rewind. I love this music. I love this show. My goodness, this episode was phenomenal.
Yes.
Two words that will just guide us into the entire episode.
Go ahead.
He lives.
Yes.
We got to talk to our boy James Arnold Taylor. Because it sounds like we might be getting some Obi-Wan action.
Yes.
As we predicted on this show.
Yeah, and he was so... I love that he was so upset about it. I love that he was so upset about it. You know, it just meant, oh, he lives. Oh. And so, you know, so you wonder if this whole thing, which would be so brilliant by Rebels, or by Filoni and everybody involved with the production, was steering this whole ship with Maul to get him back to Kenobi to find out for sure, like as a revenge type thing. Because so much has happened to him since that battle that he wants revenge for. So it's so brilliant, man. And we had more of Bendu. We have more of this whole thing of Ezra being so pushy about wanting what's in the holocron. I mean, there was like resolution a little bit, but it's still in the cave. But still, he's a teenager. This is what they do. He's a male teenager. This is what they do. They push the limits. They push the boundaries of what they can do. And so I think it's so realistic, you know. Mm-hmm. And you no longer have that father-son vibe anymore between them. It's definitely brother-brother now, which is very much mirrors what we saw with Anakin and Obi-Wan, or Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely we see that.
I hope that just because the Bendu said, hey, the conflict has been resolved.
Yeah.
I hope that's not the be-all end-all.
Right.
I hope it's just that conflict, because you had mentioned that the Bendu was going to be in more than a couple of episodes last week. So I want him to be involved in a major way. Even if he could be a guide to Maul.
Yeah.
I think that would be an interesting battle of wits between the two of them. Mm-hmm. But what did you think of the idea that unlocking both a Sith and a Jedi holocron gives you a clear view across the entirety of the Force?
Yeah, and what Bendu said, where you see things that you cannot unsee any or don't want to see. You know, that was fantastic. And the visual they did, the animation they did with that, with the whiteout and the looks and seeing the shades in gray of the faces of the people that are communicating through. I thought all of that was just so brilliant, just so smart, and it's getting you into that vibe. And people, you're unknowingly being dragged into a more adult cartoon than you anticipated, and that's what I enjoy about this show now. And the visual way that they portray that in the animation was so good, and really put you in the vibe of what's happening. And Ezra's temptation is there, which is what we talk about all the time, where I've been saying it for years, like, I think he's going to turn evil or what have you. But, you know, every second do you think he's going to make that decision, they kind of turn him back. And again, they did it in this episode when he didn't give in to his impulses, but enough was seen.
That's by the thing Maul. Is he's so, well,
yeah. I think, and what did Ezra see?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to know what Ezra's vision was, if they saw the same thing. But he mentioned Tatooine.
Yes.
So whether that specifically means he would look for a way to destroy the Sith.
Yeah.
If he had the vision about Luke and what we know in the original trilogy, that's nice.
Yeah.
But that going, them sharing that vision and Maul pulling at the anger and pulling out, oh, I got to kill this Mof.
Yeah.
I cannot fathom the awesomeness that we're going to be seeing. Yeah. I'm not exaggerating. We got to grill James.
Oh, yeah. It's not a bad idea.
We don't know if... I mean, Maul left with such purpose.
Yeah.
We don't know whether or not it's going to be, all right, next episode we're going to see Obi-Wan again, or if it's going to be something that we're going to see maybe beginning of next half of the season.
Probably. I think what's interesting about the way he left was that they let it play out. He was even more disturbed than he was already. Like, he was already insane and messed up in the head and manipulative. This it's a whole new level. Like the way he stumbled out and stumbled into the thing and just took off. Like there was no ceremony to it because he knew it was on a one-way mission and nothing else mattered. And I love that, you know, and it puts you in the mindset of what we're going to see an even more insane Maul. I'm so glad that what they're doing with this character, such a necessary character in the Star Wars universe to see, because it lets them play within the darkness, levels of darkness within a character, right? Vader is what he is, but he ultimately gets redeemed. With Maul, we don't know. That's the thing. We know the end of Vader. So whenever Vader shows up in Rebels, no matter what he does, we know he gets redeemed if we've seen the original trilogy. But with Maul, we know he got sliced in half, but then he got brought back in Clone Wars and in his brother and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're like, "What? Where are we going to go?" So there's so much to explore. It's like they put all their angst into one character, you know? And so it's great to watch that because he can be so evil and yet you can't take your eyes off him. And that's so rare to find in a Star Wars, in a universe, let alone a Star Wars universe.
I think the meta thing about Maul speaking to him, I think he carries all of the baggage, yes, both from the real world, yep, and from the franchise of what the original, of what the prequel trilogy was.
Yeah.
And that being one of the most striking images, I'll never forget being in that theater and him lighting up the lightsaber and then the second one coming out. And then you're like, this is completely different.
Yes.
What is this species? What is this guy? What is this face? Is this right. face paint? Is that his face? Right. What's going on? Awesome. And cheers to Ray Park for that. But yeah. I think that they have an opportunity to use the angst from the real world, yeah, as well as from the Force to enhance everything about the prequels that people may not have been the biggest fans of.
Yeah, I mean, one of the only negatives, and I would say here, is that once we get Hera and Sabine kind of pushed to the sidelines again, which is starting to become a little too much of a standard operating procedure, mm-hmm, and it's starting to bother me. I know this is about Ezra, I know it's his show, but the whole comment that Maul had with Sabine, "You're Mandalorian, you're used to me ruling your people. We ruled your people, you should trust me," or whatever. Like, that's such a harsh dig that I hope that pays off later on in the season, that she gets involved in somehow stopping him or hurting him or stopping him forever. You know, I don't know, but Sabine has to kind of start breaking out here, because as much as Ezra's story is interesting, Sabine has been the consistent person. She has been the one that should be the hero. Mm-hmm. And so this is interesting. Yeah, it's not maybe not as interesting because she'll just always be good. But the thing with her is that she has that anger or pain within her too. And you can see when Maul made the comment, you can see what happened to her face, mm-hmm, and the way she talked to Zeb about it. So I'm like, there's got to be more here. I just want some more coming down the pike.
From the previews and from certain castings and characters returning, there's going to be some more Mandalore later in the season. Yeah. So I hope we get a payoff for that too.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a chance to really go through to experience what Hera's been going, mm-hmm, through, with Kanan losing his sight and Ezra, like, we kind of got it from her superior officer days in the first two episodes. But yeah, I agree. I think they were kicked into the back seat, and it's hard when you like all of the characters and they just start to focus on a couple of them.
Yeah.
And something that I didn't like, but I guess this is more of a writing note, was the like, "Hey, he's got robot legs. Let's magnetize it." Cool. Leave him there.
Yeah.
Don't fire at him.
Yeah, right. Just exactly.
He's upside down. The blood will rush to his head. He'll pass out. You can incapacitate him.
Yeah.
And then put him in the hold.
Exactly.
Whatever. It was spooky, though, when Maul was going through everybody's room.
Yeah.
Essentially, everybody's quarters was what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But still managed to get a smelly Zeb joke in.
Yes.
Come on.
and a Sabine joke in.
Yeah.
Colorful. Yeah, colorful. And then, but this idea of the holocrons combining together, I had this weird idea of like, is that what is the thing that destroys planets, like Death Star Ray? Is that how do they harness, like, how do they create that? Could that be possible? The fact that in Force Awakens they destroyed five planets at one time, like, there's something here that is going to relate to more than just what we're seeing in front of us. And I think because that kind of power harnessed could be used for anything, right? It is an energy source in essence, therefore it can be harnessed to be used as some form of weapon. Any energy source can be used as a form of weapon, I believe.
I know, I agree with that there, but that brings into question Kylo Ren and his inability to essentially pick a side. If he had the ability to open up both holocrons at the same time and harness that energy for the First Order and create Starkiller Base, I think that's a good theory.
No, I don't think it's him. I think it's Snoke. And that's what I'm trying to get at. Is that this whole idea of where's this? Because it would be great if we find out the reason he has the scars is because when he first tried to combine them, it just messed his face up. Yeah, I mean, I just want this whole holocron combination thing to pay off in more than just Rebels. I want to have something about it going forward. They're creating such amazing things in Rebels. We have to see them in the movies. We have to.
I agree. And I think we will. I think Rogue One is going to surprise us with the amount that is going to be carried over from Rebels. I really do.
I'm sorry. That's one of my nerd crazy things right now.
We're on a show about Star Wars, John. That's the point. This is what we're here for.
When I get wrapped up, I'm like... All right, so there we go.
Well, speaking of nerding out and geeking out, we did mention that last week, last Friday, was Rogue Friday. And now we're going to... We asked you, our fans, so in lieu of... what do we call it? Mind Probe. Yeah. I call it my favorite segment, and I'm just blanking out about it. It's not in the paper. I don't remember. So instead of Mind Probe, we're going to be showing what you picked up at Rogue Friday. So let's take a look at this first picture. This is from Mr. J831. A single figure, honestly, waiting for the movie/prices to drop on some. So he picked up a K2SO Black Series. Nice. Not a bad pick for your one. I almost got that one as well, but I liked the grappling hook so much that I just went with the small one, the little 4x4¾. Yeah. But it's such an interesting form for K2. I'm a big fan. So thank you, Mr. J831, for sending in that one. Let's take a look at the next one. Whenever you can would be great. I love you. All right, from DJ M0593, my target limited me to two items, made the most of it. So that's an effects blue Anakin Skywalker lightsaber and the Jyn Erso pop, which I also have here.
Yes.
Wonderful picture. Let's move on to the next one from GP Oust. I also got the Lego Ewing, but he's showing us pictures of the Jyn Erso pop. Captain Andor, Captain Cassian Andor, and Darth Vader pop figures, and a whole bunch of Black Series from all around the series. Let's move on to our next one. That's okay. This was from M. Valmer Music. Just bought the Jyn Erso Kmart exclusive figure and need your expertise. Is that a lightsaber? Ooh. So if you're watching the video, to the left, there's a small little handheld device that could or could not be a lightsaber. I personally think it might just be a thermal detonator.
Sure.
But the size is... It's not...
Yeah, it's kind of real close.
Maybe it's an artifact lightsaber that, like Finn...
Yeah.
She may just use, or somebody may just use.
Okay.
Who knows? May not indicate that she is a Jedi.
Should I put my fingers on the TV so I can make that closer? The lightsaber? No, I guess
no,
I
can't. It's not. God, you can't do this. So, Happy Heathen 14 said, I made edits with mine. Ooh. So we see a stormtrooper on the ground and a death trooper catching Jyn Erso.
Yes.
And then a face-off between Kylo Ren and Rey.
Nice.
I believe that's our last one. So we'll cut it there. Thank you, everybody who sent in a picture. We're trying to figure out more ways to get you involved, not just the Mind Probe. Yeah. We want to do more live. So please make sure that you tune in live. We are live every Monday now at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. So I know I apologize to our UK listeners, but... This is going to be a little bit more of a consistent time going on. But for everybody else in the U.S., please join us live. We are going to start having somebody in on the chat so that we can interact with you live on our show. That's one of our favorite things about it, is the fact that it is live. And I want to thank a couple people who are live right now. That is Slim 413.
Nice.
Extreme Ewok. Sean Ingle. Bad Karma 52. And a couple of more folks. There we go. Lewis Cox, the Xanordo. A lot of folks. Glitter Geek TV, Jedi Master 677. Thank you so much for joining us live. We want to interact with you a little bit more often, but having somebody dedicated to the chat will make it a little bit easier on us because we're trying to steer the ship. But why don't we go to another one of our favorite segments, John?
Oh.
And that's Duel of the Fates. Got a little bit too confrontational there. But
it's because you're gearing up.
A little bit.
For what's next. Yeah, let's go ahead.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing a little bit, something a little bit different with Duel of the Fates, but first let's review what it was last week. Last week!
Yeah.
What do you think is the reason for Leia and Han's split leading up to The Force Awakens? I was expecting a lot of more, like, comedic answers.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of, you guys didn't read the book or watch the movie or anything? Right. Yeah, we did, but regardless, here are some of our favorite answers.
Here we go. Me?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
Mark
your,
Ward.
Your
yes.
One's first.
Sorry, Mark Ward sends in, along with Ben Solo's betrayal of Luke's teachings and guidance, I feel that Snoke definitely had a part to play in the disintegration of Han and Leia's relationship. In The Force Awakens, Leia mentions Snoke's shady actions regarding Ben and the pull towards the dark side for their son. And it is not unfeasible to think that he had a part in them both drifting from each other. For example, an enemy divided becomes no enemy at all. Leia is powerful in her determination and focus on a task, but not having Han there would be a serious blow to her. The emotional weight of what Ben did, of which we will hopefully find out in due course, must have really driven an insurmountable wall between them both. And I agree.
I agree with that, too.
And because what Solo says, what Han says to Ben on the platform, Snoke... You know, Snoke is, you can't believe everything he said, or you can't follow him. That there, Snoke has a personal interest in this situation, in their situation, and has been corrupting Ben for quite some time. We are led to believe just from that small interaction between Han and Ben, and you just sense that feeling that Snoke has more to do with this. So I agree with Mark saying, with a lot of what Mark's saying, and yeah, it would. It causes a problem. Anytime a couple loses a child in any way, shape, or form, whether they leave and run away fully or they die, it affects the relationship.
Yeah.
Because blame is there.
There's a lot of those classic dark side feelings.
Yes.
Which is a K-Tel record releasing later this month. that contributed to Kylo Ren being the way he is.
Yeah.
But it always goes back to the parents.
Yeah.
Never forget. Thomas Struve wrote, Han became addicted to blue milk.
Yeah.
And Leia was fed up. It was controlling his every action. She asked him to give it up, but he just couldn't. It was so good, so blue. Thus, separate paths had to be taken. Leia, I'm leaving you if you stay on the milk. To which Han responds, I know. And he takes us.
Oh, my.
See, that's the type of answer
you were waiting for.
A little silly, yeah. But you know.
Mark likes to have fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'll fight you.
I'll have the more darker, grittier answers. Stephanie Daniel says Leia and Han split because loss of a child or children will tear any parents apart, which is something I mentioned earlier. Mm. Or Han got over the fact that he remembers when Leia made out with her brother. Boom! There's your comedy.
Nope,
there's
I love
your
that
comedy.
One.
Yeah, and I listen. I watched the original trilogy on TNT. There's no way you can accept that situation. There's no way in that first film they weren't trying to angle that into a possible romance. It's just so obvious, right? So it's I love whenever anybody makes a reference of it. There's nothing wrong with calling that out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I do. What?
Thank you.
You make really good points. And sometimes
I don't.
It's like I have nothing more to add to
no,
that.
No, nobody believes what I say is the truth. Go ahead. Yes. You
liar. Michael Collins wrote, I believe Han and Leia splitting up is a number of reasons.
Sure.
One, and this is long, so I'll try to make it quick. But again, thank you for sending in your answer. In Bloodline, after Senator Castorfo exposed that Darth Vader was Leia and Luke's father, sorry, I should have put a spoiler warning,
yeah.
That pissed and confused Ben off, too. Not only would Ben be mad about that, but he'd even be more ticked off because Leia sent him a last-minute transmission of the truth after he already heard from someone in the galaxy.
Mm.
Leia was a full-time senator in the New Republic, and Han was a famous starship racer. And in Bloodline, sorry, anytime I see capitals, I have to shout
yes,
them.
Yes, of course.
They were already in a long-distance relationship, seeing each other after months apart from each other. That's going to strain any relationship. And finally, Snoke, secretly supreme leader of the First Order, was already part of Ben's life before he became Kylo Ren. He and Leia were probably friends or more. And I believe after it's exposed that Vader is Leia's dad publicly, Snoke took his opportunity to seduce Ben to the dark side of the Force. He might have already been planting seeds in the boy's mind.
Mm. Interesting.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the long-distance relationship, when you love each other, I don't think it necessarily strains it. The thing is, Han is such a scoundrel. You know, Leia is so stringent about how she does things. That's what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Han likes being on his own. He has Chewie. He has the ship. He has everything. Like, It's not that he needs Leia. He loves Leia. He just doesn't necessarily radiate that he needs Leia. And I think Leia's the kind of person that she likes to be in charge of the situation. And maybe Han's not the biggest fan of having someone in charge of him all the time. And so they're constantly, you know, no matter how fun their romance is, their natural essences as characters cause superstar friction. And so it's not a surprise that that could lead to this kind of strained relationship. And the long distance, it only adds to it because you don't have those reconnecting moments where you find your love again for each other. So that's certainly possible.
No, I agree. I also think it's that Han never adulted before, right. to put it frankly, right. Because that's totally a word. And we might see it in the Han Solo story, that something that keeps him so sort of youthful and playful, yeah. and in his own place. So anytime there's a notion of, oh, you need to be more like an adult, you have to take responsibility, you have to do this, you have to do that. I got this race to be in, and then he just pieces out. You deal with that. I'll be over here. So he always cuts and runs. Seemingly goes to what he knows best. As we heard in The Force Awakens, but regardless, it is a sad tale, that of Han and Leia.
Yeah.
But we got to see it in essentially its entirety.
Yeah,
a lot of the most important stuff. Hopefully, we'll see more flashbacks. Think of that, things of that nature.
Yes.
But for this week, it is time to take a stand. We are going to be trying out a new version of Duel of the Fates. We are going to be dueling each other.
Yes.
So we're going to be presenting two sides of a popular / not so popular argument or Star Wars question. Our first question in this style is, and now we can show the graphic, Jar Jar Binks, hero or nuisance?
Yes.
Now, I was going to give John this one anyway because I'm a bit of a jerk, but he volunteered to take the side of the hero.
Listen. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll be talking for the nuisance side. He's going to be doing the hero side. The way it's going to work is you won't be able to see it, but we have a countdown clock that has been prepared with 90 seconds on it.
Yes.
And so, John, I'm going to ask you,
yeah.
do you want to go first? Or would you like me to go first?
Oh, no, yes, since I volunteered to do hero, I will allow you, I'm sorry, I hate that term. I will say, gladly, you can go first.
Gladly, okay, all right. So,
Oh, you gave me an extra 2 seconds. Nice, well, Sean. That's hometown reffing. That's
no,
hometown.
We all have okay, extra seconds. Right. It's for cues. All right, so, my name is Mark Donica. I am going to be championing for Jar Jar's Nuisance of the Star Wars Universe, and my time is going to start right now. So, Jar Jar Binks, we all know the vocal style, not the best. He trips into positive situations, which was only expanded upon in the Clone Wars series, being thought of as a Jedi Knight to infiltrate while planets were having negotiations. He is the cause of the Galactic Empire. If he wasn't the representative for Naboo at the time of the appointing of the emergency powers. We got the music back and it threw me off.
Yes.
If he wasn't in power, anybody else would have had the opportunity to go, no, that's dumb. Uh-huh. So Jar Jar not only is responsible for the former state of the entire universe and systems all over the galaxy being thrown into peril, whether it's economically, ecologically, or anything, like we read in Bloodline, we get to see a little bit of a background into the Empire. Mm-hmm. It none of that would have happened without Jar Jar. And he put such a tarnished legacy on the prequels that nobody has been able to look at them the same way since. Mm-hmm. People have cut him out of the movie entirely to make them better. So for me, Jar Jar, as much as I think he deserves a chance at redemption, nothing but a nuisance, and nothing really positive came out of him being added to the Star Wars universe.
Boom!
And that's 90 on the dot!
That is really, really well done. You're so incredibly wrong, but we'll find out here in a sec. It's huge. You're so wrong. You're so huge. You're so wrong.
Don't do the butthole mouth.
what?
So, oh, yeah, for
that's right.
John Rocha, you are going to be representing Jar Jar Binks... Hero.
Hello.
And your time will start.
Yes.
Right now.
All
right.
So Jar Jar Binks is a hero because you saw him on the Battle of Naboo. He took out so many of those clones. You think he's just a bumbling idiot. How does a bumbling idiot become a senator? No, it's not true. He has an intelligence. He has ability to fight, to figure things out. He's patriotic. He's smart. He can take a hit. He's got all these things going on. Plus, he represents minorities in politics. You tell me, and this is an interesting thing that you said to me right now. You said Jar Jar is the reason for the Galactic Empire. So let me tell you something. So you're telling me that all these incredibly astute people who couldn't figure out Palpatine was the Emperor would somehow stop the Galactic Empire from happening. No. Jar Jar did what he did because he was basically Judas. He had to fulfill his prophecy, did what he did to create the Galactic Empire. But no, please don't tell me all these other people are so incredibly intelligent that they don't mess up this situation themselves in some messed up way. I mean, we see the entire story of Star Wars is people messing stuff up and creating these massive enemies that they have to then battle because they're stupid. Okay, and he gets cut out of the movie. Listen, you can't fault Jar Jar for the people that are unable to accept a different sounding person. We have to accept all kinds of people. And the Gungans, he can breathe underwater. He's a warrior. What more do you need from this guy? He's always found his way into these situations. Why do you think that is? Do you think two Jedi would take a bumbling fool onto missions? No. Qui-Gon Jinn knew. He just got killed before he could tell the truth about Jar Jar. And that's the thing about him. He's a phenomenal hero. He's incredibly intelligent. You need him. Without him, not only does the Galactic Empire not happen, but the entire Rebel Alliance does not happen without Jar Jar.
And that's your time, John Rocha. So that was our first version of Duel of the Fates, of this new style, of this debate style. I feel like Scott Mance over here. But regardless, we're still going to be posting this every Tuesday,
yeah,
on our Facebook page. We're also going to be posting a Twitter poll for this time, and we're going to link to our remarks and yes, see how everybody reacts to it. So let us know in the comments down below. Let us know on Twitter. You can tweet at both of us. And how you like this form of Duel of the Fates. Do you want to see it continue? I like it because it makes us take stances on issues that we may not agree with.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. It helps us expand our understanding for things that we may or may not have issues with.
Absolutely. And it challenges us as lovers of the franchise and the property to explore the other side of the argument, mm-hmm, that we normally wouldn't take. That's why I took the hero argument immediately, because I was like, okay, I want to explore this more, because I love that theory that he could be a Sith Lord. It's one of my most most favorite things that I've read in years.
Yeah.
Because because the inventiveness and the brain power that it takes for that gentleman to have created that theory, and the amount of effort to go through the movie and find the moments to compare it to the Japanese kung fu drunken master mm-hmm type style is so believable in those moments. You're like, man, if there was a file where Lucas is saying this stuff, would be so fantastic. So to me, I think at some point you have to defend certain things, and I think it's fun to explore it, you know. And I would encourage the readers, as or the listeners rather, and and the watchers to send in their versions of Duel of the Fates, mm-hmm, like. And I don't mean like, oh, what's your favorite lightsaber? I mean like, what's a very hardcore debate that you want to have us have on the show, because that would be fun to listen to what you guys want to say, and then it'll challenge us to explore, mm-hmm, this debate and these characters, and you'll get to hear your stuff on the show.
And I agree with that as well. Yeah. I did not. We both took stances that we didn't agree with.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. No. Because and that's what I like about, yes, it, is because I think the complaining about Jar Jar is so
off
done.
The chain. Yeah.
It's so childish. Right. Get over it. And I think there's a lot more to look into the character as well. But yeah, I'm very happy that you got a chance to speak for that. And I will say, how can a bumbling idiot become a politician? Well, that's not this type of podcast.
Wait, you don't get a smack.
That's not the type of podcast we're running here. I just found that comment very interesting.
Huge.
So let us know what you thought of Duel of Fates in the comments down below. But until next week, that's going to wrap it up for Jedi Alliance, unless you had any other thoughts, John.
No, I love this. No, this is good stuff. And we'll see going forward how it goes. We might get some guests who will give us separate questions, which will be fun to explore that as well. But yeah, so I mean, if you think he's a nuisance, that's fine with you. I don't.
Yeah, if out there you think that Jar Jar is a nuisance, let us know.
Right.
We'll talk more at home, John.
Yes, okay.
I just like the feeling that any people who appear on camera together live together.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's funny. That's absolutely.
But until then, make sure to head to your local store, pick up some stuff from Rogue One, live in this world. I haven't built a Lego thing in years, and I got to build a tiny little ghost. Makes me feel good. I like it, and I got a little Lego hair, and K2 are just hanging out. Why not? And I have to find that piece that I will lose forever. But until next time, John, what are you working on? What do you want to tell the folks on? You don't have to rush. We got some time. Okay. So please.
You guys can always find me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. I always like to respond to people who comment to me. You know, I take a time out of the day to do that all the time. Please always watch the Top 10 show, which is on the Collider Network. 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is when our episodes release every Wednesday. They're on the playlist. They haven't been on the main page a lot, so it's just kind of how it goes now. Just go to the playlist, subscribe to the playlist, and you will see the new episode up there. We talked about Top 10 Westerns, Top 10 female-led comedies, Top 10 Tom Hanks films, some of the recent topics, and we got one coming up here in a couple of days, which I think people will enjoy based off of whatever's coming. Birth of a Nation is coming out this week. Yeah, so we played around with that. The other thing is that the Cinephiles, which is starting, which has been around for now 3-4 months now, we're picking up steam every week. We really appreciate everyone's been listening to it. It's on iTunes podcast. We take one classic film, break it down over the year, break it down over the hour, and talk about its legacy.
That's the second time you said over the year.
Yeah, it's because that's what it feels like in my head, the amount of research I do for it. And then we just did Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and we had a very special guest, Kathleen Early, on there. She was cast by Edward Albee in a couple of plays, and we did that because the great Edward Albee just recently passed, and so we covered that film, which we hadn't seen, either of us had seen in quite some time. It's definitely, it's me and a film professor friend of mine, we break it down. And my last thing, starting this Wednesday, October 5th at 1 p.m., Yuri Lowenthal and I are back together after we had done Cast of Characters as a podcast. We kind of put it aside, and then we shopped us around to do another version of that show, and it is going to be on the Twitch channel for Geek and Sundry. Mm-hmm. Going to call it Super Animation Game Time, and it's just me and him interviewing someone from the world of voiceover, animation, video games, or anything to do with that, illustrators, creators, all that. I mean, our big thing is to get Bruce Timm, get Kevin Conroy. Like, we just have big, big dreams, and we've had a number of guests on Cast of Characters. It was really, really popular guests. They've done a number of things, so we're looking to continue that tradition, and we're going to be on the Twitch channel there on Geek and Sundry starting October 5th at 1 p.m.
Good folks over there at Geek and Sundry.
Yeah, love
and them. If Yuri's ever available and wants to come in and talk Star Wars,
we
please.
Should definitely get Yuri on the show.
Okay. Yeah, he's great. I love him. He just did one of my favorite things in a long time with Rooster Teeth called Camp Camp.
Yep.
He's very, very fun voice and fun character.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff here for the studio, Popcorn Talk. Tonight we're going to be covering part 2 of Indie Game the Movie, which is Indie Game Life After, that just came out recently this year. And then also on AfterBuzz, I'm a producer for our wrestling division, and if you were ever a fan of D-Generation X or of NWO, Six or X-Pac, or Sean Waltman, however you want to know him as, just started doing a podcast with us a couple weeks ago. This past week we had RVD, and this week the guest that we're looking at is one that you probably won't want to miss. So follow me for more information on that. Follow him at The Real X-Pac, and we're doing so much stuff over at AfterBuzz TV. So follow AfterBuzz TV on Twitter. Follow The Popcorn Talk at The Popcorn Talk on Twitter. Subscribe here. We do shows for action movies, DC, Marvel, Disney, Japanese music. Movies, so Otaku Movie Anatomy, Guilty Movie Pleasures, all sorts of amazing products. Please make sure to give a listen. You won't regret it, and if you do, complain to me about it. I'll see what I can do about that. But until next time, thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter at Jedi_Alliance and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all of the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information. Pew, 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 pew.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.